He's with us now. Good morning, Kirk.
Hey, how's it going, Terry?
It's going well. I was just telling folks that I was pretty lucky that we got some water up here where I live. It got wet, but we didn't get the snow some other places got. Now, the snow in the mountains at this time is still fantastic. Snow, some of the tree places up and down the Front Range aren't so great. But we needed this moisture. In fact, later on, after we talk a little bit about our main topic, I want to talk to you about runoff and water and where things are. But you have an issue of Trout Magazine coming out that is talks about, I think you put it as, why do we fish or what do we really fish for? Was that kind of the theme?
Exactly. It's the theme of the magazine and is, what are you really fishing for? So it's kind of a play on words there, but the point being that a lot of us goes back to that Henry David Thoreau quote that some people fish their whole lives and realize that it's not the fish that they're after. And it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and fishing can be to your mental health what jogging could be to your cardio health. It's a good way to connect, to clear your head, to be at peace, to find things that, you know, make you happy, and to share that with other people. And so that's really the point being that that's what we're all really fishing for. And it's not about numbers. It's not about how big, you know, we talk about that when you go out, first thing you ask, you have a good day? Sure, how many did you catch? But really, I think more, especially in these times that we're living in, people are valuing just being outside and being part of the experience.
I couldn't agree more. I think, as far as how fishing affects you is memories and bonding. American Sports Anglers Association, this goes back a decade or two, did a survey of adults over 40, and they asked them what their most memorable event growing up with their parents was, and 52% chose an outdoor activity. Fishing was number one, fishing, camping, hiking, hunting, being outdoors like that. And the next highest grouping was athletic events, and that was 12%. So there's a special therapeutic value, a special bonding, a special effect on your psyche that being outdoors does, and I think the water amplifies that, don't you?
I totally agree. And, you know, it's not just hearsay. We're seeing, you know, clinical research, or you know, people, doctors in Canada are prescribing park passes for people. And we've seen studies that show that patients in hospitals who are closer to trees and hear birds and stuff heal faster than those that don't. And so it's not just something made up. There's a real solid value to all of this. And we've seen that play out in lots of different ways. You know, we've seen Project Healing Waters help our veterans come back from faraway places and connect with nature, and that's great. You know, the Cast for a Cure or other things who help patients who have dealing with tough diagnoses and stuff. The Mayfly Project, it just goes on and on. We've seen lots of ways where service organizations have turned to fishing and water for benefit. So, you know, people now, I tell my friends, you know, if you see someone who's struggling, or if you know someone who needs a lift, no better place than to take them out on the water.
I tell you what, if you want a great example of that, Cast for Kids will be on Horsetooth Reservoir June 4th, where they take special needs children out, and the fishing clubs and people donate their time both on shore and with their boats, especially pontoon boats, and take these kids out. And if you see the smile on their face, it's life transforming when these youngsters catch a fish and all of a sudden they're out there and they can do something. They're experiencing it, and it is life changing. And I can tell you that my time on the water personally, when, you know, I've been very blessed with a wonderful life, but when you go through, we all go through times when we're not as in tune or happy as you want. Boy, I can just go to a local stream and I don't have to catch a fish or get out in my boat or walk the shorelines of a pond and catch a few small panfish. And all of a sudden your whole attitude changes. There really is a therapeutic property to water. Well, Karen and I, as everybody who listens, know that we travel extensively, and we almost invariably, if we can, try to stay near the water where we can hear, see, and touch the water while we're on the trip. It just makes for a better trip. Tell me about the magazine. Maybe some, well, go ahead, Nat. You were going to respond to that.
Well, I think that's right. And the point is, with the magazine and Trout Unlimited, is we take care of the water, right? So there's a reason for taking care of that water that's more than just supporting fun and games. It's supporting community. It's supporting way of life. It's supporting mental health. It's supporting lots of things for lots of people for different reasons. And that's what we do in this issue of the magazine, is kind of show that. So we've profiled the emergency room doctor and the nurse who was on the front lines of COVID, and the people who have turned their life around who had come back from addiction issues, and others who are willing to share their stories and talk about, you know, what they get out of the whole thing of fishing. And it's ultimately been one of my favorite issues as editor to work on, because, you know, you read these stories and they're so heartfelt, and it kind of tugs at my heartstrings. It was hard to put the whole magazine together with a dry eye. But at the end of the day, I think it's a really satisfying issue, and I hope people really like it.
Well, before we get into some actual fishing talk too, Trout Magazine is the official publication of Trout Unlimited. Tell people how they get it and what the other benefits are.
Sure. So if you're a member of Trout Unlimited, which is $35 a year. And we like to make a magazine that we think is worth that alone. But you also get the satisfaction of knowing that you're putting back. You're helping our organization take care of our rivers and lakes and streams, keep them clean for people who fish or people who don't fish. I mean, it's just everything kind of flows downstream, and we're focused on those cold water fisheries, especially in Colorado. Up high, you can see we're the source waters for the Colorado, the Arkansas, the Rio Grande, lots of things. And our work is felt for miles and miles and miles.
No, and it's true. It's of membership in Trout Unlimited. You get lots of perks, and then you do get to attend some meetings and things if you wish with the chapters, and hobnob with some people and rub elbows. But it's a conservation organization at its core. And I think anybody who lives in the West is pretty aware of how important water conservation is. Let's switch gears a little bit. Now, when you're not traveling the world, you spend a lot of time up in Steamboat Springs, where I think you recently were. Were you getting out on the water? What were the current conditions up there?
It is full peak runoff right now. The Yampa in town and downstream, and especially after the Elk River confluence, it's booking. So, and I think that the snow that we just had kind of slowed some of that down a little bit. But what's really been the issue is we've had warm evenings and nights. So usually when, you know, you've got 24 hours in a day and 8 of those hours are below freezing this time of year, they've not been that lately. So it's been a 24-hour full-on melt, and we're seeing that. So it's going to be a fast, big runoff.
So you expect that it's going to be coming hard, but not for maybe as long, unless we get some cooler temperatures. But I think after this spell, it may actually subside a little bit with this snow because of the cold weather, but then it'll pick right up even with more vigor as this snow melts. What about if I want to get out fishing? Is the Yampa fishable? Do you have any, or do you advise going maybe to other places or maybe tailwaters or lakes? What would you do if you're going fishing in that area?
Well, it's a perfect time for pike fishing and ice out on the lakes, Stagecoach and others. This time of year is when the pike are up in the shallows, and Nate will talk about that more, I'm sure, but it's a great time for that. It's a great time for trout along the edges of the rivers. You know, people are still fishing. I would say even the next week or so, it's going to drop a little bit. And once it starts to drop, and I mean, my rule of thumb is if I can stand in the river safely and knee deep and see my shoelaces, I'm ready to fish. So you only need 1 or 2 feet of visibility to throw flashy streamers or things of that nature. And that's some of the most fun fishing of the year. And then, of course, once the water starts to clear and the turbidity issue goes away, then the fish are full on. And it's going to be drakes and other things happening here pretty quick.
Now, across the state in the rivers, the water is high. You made a comment, the fish are still there. They're still eating. There are other options. We have a lot of tailwaters in Colorado, which have controlled flows. And stillwater fishing, of course, as you mentioned, can be tremendous. But don't always give up. You can find calmer parts of the river. But don't you think this time of the year, a lot of people just cast right over the fish? Because those fish are just tend to be bunched in by shore. They're not going to be out in that raging river.
No, that's right. Imagine if it's a treadmill, right? And Mother Nature's turned the dial up on the treadmill all the way, full tilt. But, you know, you can get a little breather if you head off to the side of the river. So if you're a fish, would you want to be on the treadmill all the time, or would you rather just kind of dabble in and out of the current? And that's where you're going to find them. It's right on the banks most of the time, within 3 feet of the banks, especially this time of year.
And I like your approach about big streamers, you know, even stoneflies this time of the year, but big flies, and sometimes they go, bright flies can work, but I find sometimes dark blacks and silhouette images that leave a silhouette actually work better.
Yeah, and rubber leg flies, so like a Pat's rubber leg, dark brown, with, you know, suspended below a dry fly, fished right close to the bank, you know, a big stimulator, something that's very buoyant. I would put a stimulator and then drop me 12 to 18 inches below it, big, heavy, fast-sinking rubber leg stonefly. And that's the way to pick the edges of the rivers this time of year for sure.
We are out of time, my friend. If people want to join Trout Unlimited, get Trout Magazine, how do they do that?
Just go to tu.org. And you can sign up. There's buttons to push, and you can get signed up, you know, anyway. Or, you know, look online and find one of the local meetings, and you can come that way, too. And, you know, however you want to be a part, is everyone's welcome, and you don't have to go to all the meetings. You can just show your support however you want to do it. But, it's a big community, and we're happy to have as many people as we can.
All right, my friend, I'll let you. I know you're on a trip. Thank you for taking time out to join us and all the work you do in the industry. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for everything, Terry, and you have a good one, and stay warm.